Good morning, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for your gracious invitation to come and to be your guest minister this morning. I look forward to every opportunity I have to proclaim God's word. It's always an exciting thing for me to do, and so I thank you for your graciousness to me this morning. I invite you to open your Bibles once again to the first chapter of Ephesians. I've made one mistake when I sent my information to Dave. We're going to go from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, through the beginning of verse 8. We're not stopping at the end of verse 7. Also, most people do this, but when we're reading this in verse 4, where it says we should be holy and blameless before Him, you'll notice there's a period there. The "in love" actually belongs to the next words. In love He predestined us. And that makes a big difference in our reading and our understanding of God's Word. So hear now God's Word once more. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. I'm going to take back my words. We are ending at the end of verse 6. Verse 7 picks up a whole new idea. I was during the scripture reading this morning, I must have confused myself, which at my age is very common. After hearing God's word, however, let's bow once more in prayer. Father, we come before You. We come before You and we're about to investigate an awesome portion of Scripture, a dynamic piece of Your Word, something that should excite us, thrill us, give us goosebumps when we consider what is in here. Help the one who speaks to open Your Word plainly and clearly. Give him clarity of mind and clarity of speech. And be with Your people so that they may hear and understand, so that together we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Good, thanks. Parents, why do you love your children? Have you ever asked that question? Why do you love your children? Why do moms and dads care for them, feed them, clothe them, educate them, train them, discipline them, hug them, worry about them, pray for them, put up with their misbehavior? They love them even when they're naughty, even when they're sassy, even when they're disobedient. Parents, why do we do all those things and myriad of other things for our children? Why do we love our children? When I was preparing yesterday, and I asked myself this question, I didn't have a good answer. I love them because I do. I love my three daughters because they're mine. I love them. Perhaps we love our children because we're hardwired that way. But another question for us all. Why does God love us? Why does He feed us and clothe us and shelter us? Why does He discipline us and train us and nurture us? Why did He send His only begotten Son to die on the cross, that cruel and horrible death, so that we might receive His righteousness? Why does God love us? Well, we're good Presbyterians, and we know the answer to that, right? because it was his sovereign choice. And that is a good, good answer. But is there another one, or are there more? Well, let me give you one other one. He did so for his own glory. He did so for his own glory. We are in a passage of Scripture this morning of whom another man has said that Ephesians, at least Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, this man says, Paul has written nothing more profound than these chapters. And in from verse 3 through verse 14, we have an incredibly rich, dynamic portion of that profound section that Paul wrote. This is something that I don't think an eternity of sermons could begin to plumb the depth of the riches that are in these verses. An amazing thing about these verses is that from verse 3 through verse 14 in the original language is one sentence. It's one sentence. It, depending upon which version you're using, I'm sure it's broken down into several sentences and even several paragraphs. But it's one profound, incredible sentence. And in this sentence, there's three sections. Each section dealing with a different member of the Trinity and that member's relationship to your salvation. He begins with the Father and His work, the Son and how that work was accomplished, and the Spirit and in a way the Spirit applies it or guarantees your salvation to you. But the thing I like about it is this. At the end of each section, he says, to the praise of His glory. The Father does what He does to the praise of His glory. The Son does what He does to the praise of His glory. And the Spirit does what He does to the praise of His glory. So this morning, let's look at verses 3 through 6 and see what the Father has done for us for the praise of His glory. And what we're going to see is that for the praise of His glory, He has given us His complete blessing. He has made us His graceful choice, and He has included us in His loving plans. Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, some translations take that blessed and they want to make it a command. And I've read a couple of translations over the last couple of days. It'll say, praise God the Father. This is not a command. This is a state of being. God is blessed. The Father in and of Himself, He is blessed. He is full. He is complete. He is everything. He is joyful. He is full of goodness, truth, and beauty. He is blessed. That's what God is. When you think of God, think of Him that way. He is the blessed God. The God who is wondrous in His being. And what has this God done for you? He has blessed you. He has taken His blessedness and blessed you. And to what extent has He blessed you? He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. John MacArthur tells a story, an illustration, about a man who did not have much to his name. And he would see these travel brochures. There'd be these pictures of people going on these luxurious cruises, and they'd go into all these marvelous ports, and they'd visit all these historic sites, and there was nothing more than that man wanted than to go on one of those cruises and visit all of those fantastic places. So the man scrimped and saved for years so he could finally afford one. But he said to himself, I may be able to afford the cruise, but I'll never be able to afford those meals that they serve on those cruises. So he brought with him several loaves of bread and jars of peanut butter and jelly. And every day at mealtime, he'd make himself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But then he'd walk by the restaurant or the dining area, and he'd see these people eating these magnificent meals, and he just couldn't stand it anymore, so he grabbed his steward. And he said to him, steward, well, how much would it cost me to have one of those meals? I don't care. I never have one. And the steward said to him, sir, don't you understand? That was included with your cost for the cruise. That is yours. And you see, a lot of Christians are like that. They think, well, now that I have salvation, I need something more. I need a second blessing. I need to do a work so that God will give me what I need to live the Christian life. But Paul says here, you have been blessed with some spiritual blessings in the heavenly. You've been blessed with a couple of spiritual blessings in the heavenly. You've got one or two spiritual blessings from the heavenly. The rest I'm keeping for other people. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly. Peter says it nicely in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says in verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything. Everything you have. And look how he has blessed us with those things. He says, blessed, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly place in Christ. I've got a homework assignment for you. I've gotten to a habit recently when I preach to give homework assignments, Sabbath day activities. I want you to go home, get out your concordances, get your Bible software, find every place in the New Testament where it says in Christ, and study those passages. Here in Ephesians 3, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, 10 times Paul says, in Christ, in Him, in whom, in the Beloved. 10 times. Go home and just look at what it says in Christ. You'll find some great things, that you are in Christ and Christ is in you. That because you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. You have received grace upon grace. Because you're in Christ, you're sanctified. Because you're in Christ, you have hope. Because you're in Christ, you share in His inheritance. These are the spiritual blessings that you have, being in Christ. What an amazing thing. And why has God blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies? For the praise of the glory of His being. God has given you everything you need. And because He has, He will not withhold one thing for you. God has given this church everything it needs. And God will not withhold His gifts for this church. Blessed be God. And because He is a blessed God, He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. But wait, there's more. There's more. Let's continue reading. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. All right, just stop there for a second. That's one of the blessings, isn't it? That He chose us. Oh, we've come to that dry, dusty old Presbyterian Reformed doctrine of election. Oh, it's time to be bored by this minister standing up here. Election. What's election? Well, in eternity past, before time began, God, out of His good pleasure and infinite wisdom, chose a certain number of humanity to receive salvation. His choice was not determined by any foreseen merit or action of the individual. All right, there's the definition. We can move on, right? Is that what election is about? Well, that is what election is. This is what Scripture teaches. God has chosen His people from eternity before time began. That's a concept I can't get my mind around. There was a time when there was no time. Got that? Back then, God chose you. And He didn't choose you because you were a nice person. He certainly didn't choose me because I was a nice person. I'm glad you didn't know me before I came to faith, or you wouldn't be here this morning. He chose you before time began. And this is something that was taught by the church throughout history, by St. Augustine, by Luther, by Calvin. That's something found in the 39 Articles of the Anglican Church, the Continental Reform, Three Forms of Unity, the Heidelberg Catechism, which I dearly love, the Canons of Dort, and of course the Belgian Confession. It's in our Westminster Standards. It's in the Baptist Philadelphia Confession. Election is a truth, and it's a wonderful truth. And election does not shut anyone out of heaven. It's sin that shuts people out of heaven. And election is not unfair. Because without election, no one would be saved. And what God does is never unfair. And election is not an excuse to not believe. Well, I'm not elect, so I'll just go on my merry way. No. But also notice this. He chose us to be holy and blameless. He chose us in Him. There again, you have the in Christ idea. He chose you in Christ. And in Christ you're sanctified. In Christ you have God's grace. In Christ you're alive to God and dead to sin. In Christ you're a new creature. In Christ you're justified. Oh, the glorious day that I came to understand the doctrine of justification by faith. Oh, that wonderful day in my life. And in the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, God sees me. Let me rephrase that. God sees you as if you had never sinned nor been a sinner. He sees you as if you were perfectly righteous as Christ. That's the doctrine of justification, people. When God looks at you, He doesn't see that struggling with sin Christian. He doesn't see that one who has particular habits and things that they can't shake. When God looks at you, He sees Jesus Christ. You are elect in Him. You are in Him, you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I like the sign that says, I'm God's workmanship and God don't make no junk. In Him you're made a partaker of the covenant of grace. You are a child of Abraham in all of those promises. That's what election is about. That's what you're elected to. That's what election brings you, that dry, dusty old doctrine of election. It's not just an academic topic. Because when you see and understand where election has placed you, you realize that God indeed has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. And there's a purpose for His election, that you be holy and blameless. There's a responsibility for election. Peter says it in another way back in, if we were to go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, make your calling and election sure. Peter doesn't say earn your calling and election or do something to get your calling and election. You could almost paraphrase that as saying that election that you have, make it sure. Prove it in your life. Make it a reality. Walk in holiness before Him. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter quotes the Old Testament, and where God says, be ye holy as I am holy. Election is not an excuse for you now to do whatever you want to do. Not like the man who, after listening to a couple of people present the gospel to him, says, yes, I'll say that sinner's prayer. And when it was over, they invited him to a Bible study. He says, no, now that I'm saved, I'm going to go out and do party and do whatever I want. That's not where election leads you. Election leads you to be holy and blameless. And why has God chosen you in Him before the foundation of the world? To the praise of His glorious grace. To the praise of His glory. We will, and for all eternity, whether we leave this earth and we're before the throne of God's grace in the heavens, or we're here when He returns and we spend eternity living in the new heavens and the new earth, we will be singing the praise of His glory. We'll be singing the praise of the fact that He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. And we'll be singing praise to the fact that that before the foundation of the world, He chose us in Christ. But God has not only blessed you with every blessing in the heavenlies, God has not only graciously chosen you, but He has a purpose for you. And we see His loving planning in verses 5 and 6. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Here we have again one of those dry, dull Presbyterian doctrines, predestination. But is it so? Is it so? Do you see how it starts in love? He predestined us. In love, He did it. He didn't just academically do it. You know, I'm going to predestine all things, and this is how it's going to work out. E equals MC squared and all that, you know. In love, He predestined us. And yes, God does predestine all things. He predestines everything. I love what the Heidelberg Catechism says. Where it quotes Scripture in that first question and answer. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I'm not my own, but in life and in death I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who has freed me. Who has freed me from the power of Satan, etc., etc. And not a hair can fall from my head without it being the will of my Father in heaven. Not a hair of Dave can fall from our heads without the will of our Father in heaven. Every hair in your head is predestined. Every step I take up here as I walk back and forth on this thing is predestined.
Do I understand it fully?
No. If I understood it fully, I'd be God. There are some things about God we'll never understand fully. We'll never fully understand the Trinity, but we will celebrate. We will celebrate.
But he did predestinate things. How does he work out his predestination?
I love the Westminster Confession on this. You know, in chapter 3, it talks about God's eternal decree. Then in chapter 5, it talks about providence. God works out his predestinated will providentially. Let me give you but a couple of weak illustrations. You leave here today. You're going to get in your car, and you're going to drive down the road, and you're going to come to one of those octagonal-shaped signs. It's red, and it has those words on it, S-T-O-P. What are you going to do? Step on the gas and fly right through, right? No. You're going to hit the brake. You're going to stop. You're going to look both. Ideally, you're going to come to a complete stop. You're going to look both ways, and then proceed. Who decided that you would stop there? Well, you did, of course. Did the state of Maryland have anything to do with it? Did the county of whatever county you're in have anything to do with it? Did they not predestine that you would stop there? Weak illustration, but I think you see the point, how God uses means to accomplish his work. I go to the grocery store. And my wife sends me there with more than three items. I need a list, or I forget all three and come back with something different. But on that list is peanut butter. Now, I'll go to that peanut butter shelf, and I don't care about what brand it is. Skippy, Jif, Peter Pan. I always pick a name brand. I'm a snob, peanut butter snob. But I'll guarantee you this, whatever brand it is, it's going to not only be chunky, but it's going to be the super or extra chunky, or yeah, I love my peanuts. Oh, why? So, is my choice predestined? Yes. How does that work out? By the way God wired me. Somehow, some way, he wired me the extra chunky peanut butter. There is no other kind. There is no other kind. But in love, he predestined you. But he predestined you to a great end. Adoption as his sons. And to be politically correct, and daughters. How does it feel to have God as your father? I hope that many of you own and have read that book by J.I. Packer, Knowing God. It's a great book. Printed, I think, 30-some years ago. One of the first books I read as a Christian. In that book, J.I. Packer says, you'll know what someone thinks of being a Christian when you ask them this question, what does it mean to you to have God as your father? What does it mean for you to have God as his father? So I'm posing that question to you today, people. What does it mean for you to have God as your father? Is that a scary thing? Or is that a warm, wonderful thing? Is that an empowering thing? Does that make you strong? I've got God as my father. God's not just the coach on the sideline. He's my father. He's walking with me. He's guiding me through his spirit. He guides me through his word. He teaches me, instructs me. He has promised that no matter what situation I'm in, that his grace will always be sufficient for me, for you. That he's there. It means, too, that you're never out of his presence. Remember that children's song, Be Careful Little Eyes, What You See? Be careful little ears, what you hear? Be careful little hands, what you do? Little tongue, what you say? for there's a Father up above who's looking down in love. Well, no. There's a Father right there with you. Right there with you. Oh, this dry, dusty doctrine of predestination, how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Why? According to the kind intention of His will. In love He did it. And He did it out of kindness. It's sort of like bookends surrounding predestination. Incredible. Incredible. Even inconceivable to some degree. Wrap your mind around that. Think about that. It blows me over. It gives me goosebumps. It really does. God's Word is exciting. His truths are magnificent. And if they don't move you, and if they don't stir you, if they don't excite you, oh my, you better spend an afternoon with me in a locked room. I'll beat it into you. In love. And why did He do it? Why? To the praise of the glory of His grace. And Paul has this great little footnote to that, which He freely bestowed on us in love. In the Beloved, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. That grace is what He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. And I love that, freely bestowed on us. Because the word translated, freely bestowed, is the verb form of grace. So He has graced you with grace. He has favored you with His favor. He has gifted you with His gift. And the way the word stands, it's almost intensified. It's like filling this cup with water, but pouring that pitcher full out so that it just keeps overflowing and never ending. And He did it because of you're in the Beloved. That's a wonderful description of Jesus Christ. He is the Beloved One, and you are in Him by grace. And because you're in the Beloved, what does that make you? Beloved. Beloved. Everyone. And why? Again, for the praise of the glory of His grace. Parents, you love your children, don't you? Why?
I mean, I don't know, but I do. I'm wired that way. They're all adults now. They all live in other states. And I love them. I love my memories of them. You love your children, but why? God loves you. God loves you. He cares for you. He nurtures you. He guides you. He directs you. He disciplines you. He puts up with you. He tolerates you. He forgives you. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. He has chosen you from before the foundation of the world. In love, He has predestined you to adoption as His sons and daughters. And why? For the praise of the glory of His grace. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, I haven't even scratched the surface here, but I've done the best I could. What marvelous things are taught here. What beautiful ideas are found here. What depth of doctrine and truth that excites us is here.
It is our prayer that as we leave this place, that we would leave with the intention of living our lives in a manner that would be in accord with the praise of the glory of your grace. Amen.